and Glenn Adelbass. He was the one who was up there taking control of everything. He's the one that made sure that all the red lights turned on and off so that the airplanes wouldn't crash into the building. So that was his job. He liked doing it. He did it every day of the week, except Thursdays, his only day off. But you know, when he was off, he never really had much fun. I mean, he really didn't do anything. He didn't go anywhere. He just kind of just existed throughout the day. And then he always noticed on a Thursday his arm would get cold. He had no idea why. It was right arm. It was always getting cold. I mean, it would even feel cold. If you're cold to the touch, it was just one of those things. Only on Thursdays. Why? He had no idea. But it happened. I mean, he would go uptown. His arm would get so cold, he would actually lean up against somebody just to warm it up because of their warm body. And one time, he was sitting there, and he was actually standing there right next to somebody at a bus stop, and he leaned over and pressed his arm against that person and started to unbutton their coat just so he could stick his arm inside to keep warm. And just as he stuck his arm all the way in, he said, "What the heck are you doing sticking your arm in it? Get out of here." And he was really upset. He wanted to keep his arm warm. How was he going to keep his arm warm if people were just going to yell at him? Well, he didn't like that one bit. He was just so upset about that. He went all the way home and sat at his house and waited for Friday, because he knew when Friday came, his arm would feel normal again. Well, that's what he did. He went home, laid down, went to sleep, woke up in the morning, looked around, said, "Hey, I feel normal." He worked through the whole week, climbing those buildings all over town. Every day he would do that, climb to that building and go up on the roof and adjust those lights. He had to make sure every red light on top of these buildings turned on and off the way they were supposed to, you know, so that the planes wouldn't crash into them. And then Thursday was coming again. Here it comes. Thursday's coming. He knew what was going to happen. He had a plan ahead. This time he thought to himself, "If I could just get somebody that would be big enough to be warm, I could just lock myself right onto that person and stay warm for the whole day." Well, so that's what he did. He planned it out. He was going to go on to 4th in Minnesota. That was probably one of the busiest corners in town. He was going to wait for somebody that was going to be nice and warm, somebody probably chubby, a little bit chubby, thinking that because they had a little more mass to their body, they'd be warmer. So he waited, and this one person walked by. He thought, that looks about right. But he thought, well, maybe I'll wait for the next one. Sure enough, somebody else came by. That was perfect. Look at that. That woman there had just nice big rolls on her or whatever that was, and he knew that had to be warm, had to be real warm. And there it was, still thirsty. His arm was just cold as cold could be, and he just ran straight at her and leaped up, and he thought himself he could just lodge himself on. He would be good for the rest of the day. Well, he jumped on her back and just hung right on tight and put his arm in the middle between him and the woman and just locked on her back and just stayed there. She said, "Get off my back, get off my back." And he just hung on. Pretty soon, after about 5 minutes of tossing and turning and stuff, she finally calmed down. And it got to a point where she didn't even realize that he was on her back anymore. So he would go around with her for the day, and she went shopping, and he'd be hanging on her back. She would go looking at things and buying this and that, and walking down the street holding their bag of goods, and she'd be walking and talking to other people. They'd say, "Well, what's that person hanging on your back for?" And she'd say, "What? What are you talking about?" She turned around, didn't see anybody there. She turned back around, thought the person was just giving her a hard time. So, needless to say, she kept on walking down, and he just hung on tight. Oh, it felt so good. His arm was so warm there, so nice and warm, just sitting up tight to her back. And she just walking along, he's hanging on her back. She didn't even know it for the longest time. And then he thought to himself, "I better get off." He says, "I got to get home, get some rest for tomorrow." So he let himself go and dropped off, and she just kept on walking away like nothing happened, like there was nothing wrong, just kept on going. "Wow," he said, "that was easy. I'm going to do that again tomorrow," he said. But he realized that tomorrow was Friday again, and his arm would feel normal, so it was no problem there. He had nothing to worry about. So he just went back home again, bored as ever, went back to his house and started to rest. And then he noticed that his nose was getting cold. "Well, that's different," he said. "Usually it's my arm that's cold, and now my nose is getting cold. What am I going to do now?" So he went to sleep and woke up in the morning, and he felt a little different. Got up, slowly walked over to the bathroom mirror, and he looked at it, and his nose was puffed up a little bit. It sure was cold. His nose was cold. Oh, man, he went through this for the whole day. Nobody could see it except he knew it himself. His nose was a little puffed up and cold, but the average person who didn't know him knew no difference. I mean, they had no idea that his nose was cold. Well, Friday went, and there Saturday was, and he's back to normal. He said, "Oh, no, what am I going to have, an issue a day? Thursdays I got a cold arm, Fridays I got a cold nose. What's next?" So, needless to say, he went through the rest of the week again, going up on the top of these buildings, adjusting those big red lights, making sure that they turned on and off like they were supposed to. And a helicopter came over, and it just sat over the top of the building. He didn't know what he was going to do. Was he going to land, or was he going to just say something, or what? And a little microphone started dropping down, all the way down to him. He could knew it was a microphone because he had one that looked just like it. And it came down, and right head level with him. And as soon as it was sitting there, he heard over the speaker on top,
Grab the microphone.
So he grabbed the microphone.
Sing a lullaby for the people up here in the helicopter. They want to hear you sing. They said you're a great singer.
He said, "How did they know I'm a great singer? They don't even know me." But little did he know, they were relatives from Vermont that were visiting, and they were just pulling a trick on him. They wanted him to sing a lullaby, and they all laughed about it and had a great time. Well, he lowered down a ladder for him, and he climbed up all the way to the top, and, "Hi, Susan. Hi, Mary. Hi, John. How you doing?" And, oh, they were laughing, and "We thought you were going to sing us a lullaby," he said. And they were just goofing off and having a fun time, and the helicopter leaned off to the right and just went zooming all the way back across town, and it went and landed, and they all went out and had something to eat. Well, here was Saturday now. Thursday was rolling around again, and he got his cold arm as usual. He went and latched onto a guy for about 4 or 5 hours. And, of course, once again, the guy started struggling to get him off, and it didn't work. And after about 4 or 5 minutes of trying to get him off, of course, it felt like he wasn't even on anymore. So he just kept on walking, going through his daily work. He went to his office and sat down. He was still hanging on his back. And he watched him do his work even while he just sat there keeping his arm nice and warm. And now Friday was rolling around. Now he was going to be worrying because he had to go home, of course, go to bed, wake up on Friday. Well, by the time Friday rolled around, his nose was cold again. Now what was he going to do? Oh, no, he thought. So he sat there with a hot cloth on his nose to keep it nice and warm. He kept rubbing his nose and stuff like that. Well, it got to a point, of course, enough was enough. He went to the doctor. The doctor told him, "Well, what your problem is," he says, "as I can see here, you've got iditis. That means you've got boredom setting in. That's from the iditis comes from the Latin word idle, and you're not doing anything. So when you get iditis like that, that's something you've got to do something that's entertaining, exciting. You've got to do something. You can't just sit around and become a zombie." And he knew that's what he did on Thursdays. Everything was so boring. And he knew that's what he did on Fridays. Every day was becoming more and more boring. He needed to do something. So he's trying to figure out what to do, and he went through books trying to figure out what he could possibly be interested in that would be exciting. Well, that was just like boggling his imagination and boggling his mind because he had no interest in anything. He was just an average person doing average things, doing an average job, doing an average day's work. He did it all the time. He went on and on and on for days and days. Well, it took him weeks and weeks and weeks to try to figure out what he could do to make life more interesting. And so, of course, he would still have the cold arm. Of course he would still have the cold nose. And this went on and on. And each day, each Saturday, Sunday, Monday, he would have some issue of one part of his body getting cold until he could find out what he could do to get rid of this iditis. He did not want iditis anymore. He had to do something. And of course he went on and on and on. And eventually he thought of something, but it's unknown to this day because he wouldn't tell anybody. It's one of those secrets that you like to do, but you don't want anybody else to know. It's what he did. He had something he was doing, and we still don't know what it is. But he didn't have his numb arm anymore, and he didn't have his numb nose, and he didn't have his numb leg, and there was a numb neck. I know one of the days, I don't know if it was Wednesday or Tuesday or whatever it was, but he had a rump, cold. I say numb, but it was actually cold is what it was, but it got so cold it was numb. And in any case, he figured it out, but he had a hobby we didn't even know about. It was a secret hobby, and he was so interested in it that obviously all those symptoms went away, and he didn't have iditis anymore. So that was one thing that he was so happy about. He found himself a hobby that kept him busy, kept him excited. He enjoyed his day. Even his regular work during the week he enjoyed because he had something to do on his off time that kept him busy. He loved it. He did it every day. He just had a great time, and he just was so happy about it that he just enjoyed the rest of his life. Every day, he just had a great time, all the time, every time, for the rest of his life. And he enjoyed every minute of it.